Sight to the Blind. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Sunday. A wonderful and blessed Sunday, because you are not a follower of a Hebrew Israelite camp. Be blessed and be glad in it that you are not a member of a Hebrew Israelite camp. If you are a Gentile, if you are a new listener, you are now paying, you know, having your eyes opened, but you also see these camps like IUIC, ISUPK, GMS, Sakari, Anointed House of Saints. If you are now awakening and are seeing these camps, but you don't know what the hell these camps are, what they teach, or who told them they had authority to call white folks devils, the enemy, so forth and so on, then let me give you a broad stroke. There has been a lot of camps being founded within the last 5 or 6 years, around the time where the enemy knew that we were going to be awakened, because they knew and understood the 400-year prophecy mentioned in Genesis 15, 13, and 14, because that mentions how America is going to be judged. Once you grasp that, then you know that Satan loves to sow tares. He loves to come through and gobble up the righteous seeds, to pervert their mind, to pervert their flesh, and to pervert their understanding and following the true obedience, which we are all called to be and to follow the Most High Yahuwah through his Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. So these camps popped up, and they wanted to use these camps to polarize Gentiles against pretty much anybody brown, because those camps that they talk about of the 12 tribes being all over the where the brown country people, you know, live at, saying that these are the 12 tribes, which is retarded if you ask me, because I don't see how Rachel and Leah, who were Shemites, Negroes, and Zilpah and Bilhah, who were sisters, also possibly Shemites, transformed their entire bloodline from being Negro to being children of Tarshish and Ham, or children of being from Esau and Ham, or Japhet and Ham. But these Israelite camps use that 12 tribes chart as a matter of using the old Freemasonic checkerboard, black versus white, white versus black, or colored or brown or what have you. I've already exposed IUIC and their leader for being a Prince of Freemason. They have other Masonic entities or Masonic clowns, I shouldn't say entities, Masonic clowns participating in all of the camps I aforementioned. ISUPK, which is the Israelite School of Understanding, blah, 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 knowledge, something, something. GMS. I don't know much about Sakari other than what happened to their leader, which he calls himself Gorilla Hebrew. A Haitian who looks more Lebanese than Haitian. He was wrapped up into something in his household. I'm not going to go into it because it's not my business and I'm not here to gossip. And he didn't transgress against me because I'm not one of the fools and the foolish ones that go after these camps, that are entertained by these camps, preaching, yelling, screaming, being combative with scripture against anybody that's a Christian, anybody that's white. They enjoy being on street corners, bashing people for not accepting their part in what happened to us 400 years ago. And I said this before, it's the reason why I wanted Negroes or Israelites, stop talking about our curses. It's done. It's redundant and tired. It does not move us forward. No one feels sorry for us, and no one's supposed to feel sorry for us. What white folks did back then, it would not have happened if we were obedient as a people. As simple as that. Be mad at our ancestors, our forefathers, who created these generational curses and curses upon us. It's their fault. The Most High only used other nations as a whip, a rod, because we would not listen. There's a reason why he calls us stiff-necked. He doesn't call any other Gentile nation stiff-necked. He calls us stiff-necked. We the only people that know that we are called and chosen would still go after other gods, even when we have seen with our own eyes the miracles and power of Yahuwah Elohaka. This is why I love the verse in Yirmiyahu 4:22 when he says, "My people are foolish. They have no knowledge." Sodish. You know what sodish means? Stupid. Wise to do evil, but to do good, we have no understanding. If the Most High would have abandoned us and broke the covenant off that he made to Abraham, he would be well in his right to do so. We are lucky as a people that he stayed loyal to us. And even now, especially when we know and read about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, all these different religious zealots and sects that popped up during the time after the Maccabean revolt, that when Greeks, Romans, and the Yehudim start to mingle themselves down in southern Africa, where Yerushalayim is, that these sects popped up out of nowhere, disagreeing with each other and following their own laws and their own man-made traditions. So they bring these camps out to revamp the old Pharisees and Sadducees to preach a completely different doctrine in order for everyone to look at themselves as a racial identity. And being on a racial side would prove you to be in the first ticket or be in the first seat of the resurrection, salvation, and glory. But since I mentioned that Sakari camp and this leader, Gorilla Hebrew, he had an incident in his house. And it's in his house. Like I said, it had nothing to do with me. He didn't transgress on me. So he don't need to apologize to me. But it was something dirty. And he's supposed to be a leader. If you go up and listen to his videos and listen to him argue with other people on the street, he says the N-word, he cusses. Nothing he says or have ever said and me listening to him would prove to me that he has the Ruach HaKodesh. So when he got exposed for something in his household by one of his wives, everybody took to social media. Well, those who were in the know, those in the Israelite community took to social media telling, oh, he should stay. No, he should go. Oh, why don't you treat him like you treat Edomites? Oh, this and oh, this is that. And I was amazed about how many Israelites truly listened to this guy. But listen to his apology. You let me know if how he spoke or speaks is one of humility, taking accountability through the Ruach HaKodesh.
It's like that, but I understand. I've let myself down. I've let all of y'all down. You know, and I get that, you know, and I'm not making any excuse about that. And I'm ashamed of that. And I know a lot of y'all, it's a lot of niggas is happy about that. But a lot of y'all, I promise you would fold under this pressure. I promise you couldn't sit where I'm sitting. I promise you couldn't walk a motherfucking block in my shoes. I promise you niggas. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it since I was a kid, let alone now. But y'all want the spot, so I'm going to let y'all have it. I'm stepping back from Sicari. You know, Passover is still going down here in Atlanta. You know, I'm just going to step back. Like I said, I've already turned and repented. You know, but I guess I got to step back some more. Oh, man. Maybe do some more soul searching, some more reflecting. And, you know, it was an honor serving you niggas, honor teaching you niggas.
You know, man, this shit is my life, man. And I put you niggas before my kids, nigga. I put you niggas before everything, man. I put you niggas before everything, man. I put you niggas before everything, bro. Before everything, my nigga. I really gave my life to this shit. Because I know it's the truth and I know it's the right thing. I know it's the right thing, man. And whatever you got from me, my nigga, take that shit, do what the fuck you supposed to do, nigga. Do what I showed you to do, nigga. Do what I showed you to do, nigga. All praises, man. I'm good.
He ended it with all praises. After that cursing rant, after calling brothers, the Akis, fellow Israelites, niggas, he says all praises. And you telling me that this man is walking with the Most High, that he's walking under the spirit of Yahusha, under the blood? You trying to convince me of that? Instead of taking accountability and say, you know what, I'm walking off, I'm taking this, it was wrong for me to do this, and leave it as that. But insecure men who have never been put in positions of leadership, I don't know if he don't have a father or not, but when men like this are put in positions of leadership and have not been known for nothing in their lifetime, this is how they apologize. Because they have never been in platforms and they've never been seen and they've never been heard before until scripture came out. Until when people started turning into something very basic as the Bible, people went looking for those who could break down scripture that wasn't of a religion. So they Hegelian dialected so-called believers and Israelites by giving you these camps and thinking that, oh, they have all these boys around them, all these men around them. They must be knowing the truth. They must be speaking what is right. And these camps, from the top to the bottom, are filled with fatherless men, bastards, who have never known leadership, never in the household, and never anywhere else in their life. A bunch of bastard children do not equal a fathered son. They did nothing but take the old CIA programming of using these hip-hop groups. You know, I've noticed that these old-school hip-hop groups like Rockefeller, Rough Riders, all that was based upon a group of fatherless men. Led by one leader. So the status of one leader filtered down to all of its members, from the highest to the lowest. You believe what the leader believed. You acted how the leader acted. You knew what the leader knew. So that depends on if the leader was stupid, then you would have to be dumb. If the leader is smart, then you would be smart. But someone who calls himself Gorilla Hebrew, this is who the Israelites are falling behind or falling under. teaching that 12 tribes chart, teaching that all white folks are devils, being polarizing, not really bringing anybody into the truth, other than those who are charmed by Charleston White. And that's what most of these camps sound like. They sound like Charleston White with scripture mixed in, because that's how they talk. And they're bringing in people who aren't truly reborn, but bringing that kind of sexy red street mentality into scripture and not really changing their life over and living through the scripture. They're just covering up their insecurity, their childhood traumas with scripture or being knowledgeable of scripture, not really living it, but being knowledgeable of it, which is the same issue that the Pharisees and the Sadducees went through, making tradition out of someone else's histories. Making a doctrine out of somebody else's histories. They don't change. We keep saying there's nothing new under the sun, and yet we are surprised that these Israelite camps pop up out of nowhere, preaching on the street corners, being shown on mainstream media platforms, which is all you need to show Negroes for them to go whoring after it. Show them it, it's an image on TV, and they'll say, we need to be like that. I'm not saying all of you. I'm saying most of those Israelites that love being around these camps and see it as a symbol of power and strength. But no way in the world, if I was somebody who completely didn't know anything about scripture, would I even stand in line to follow and listen to somebody like that? And the first thing brothers do is run to their pages, run to their platforms, run to YouTube and say, well, this is what happens to the brother. You know, we should be showing grace. We should be showing love. We should be showing forgiveness. But I don't have no problem with that. But why show forgiveness to somebody who's preaching a perverted doctrine? It's clear to me that the Negroes that follow these camps have no idea and don't know how to read scripture on their own. These camps teach, and it's funny that most of them teach it. Even though they're being different from each other in different cities, different locations, they seem to teach the same thing. One, that the King James Bible is all you need to read. And that King James was black. That makes no sense. So you think because King James was black that the King James Bible was the only thing we should use, when in fact it was King James who was outed to being a homosexual. So it's funny to me that people don't do their due diligence and really research things themselves. They listen to the echo chamber. Oh, if all these Israelite men that we've seen on TV before marching and prancing in front of the Barclays Center, if they said it, oh, it has to be truthful. Look at all the power they get. Look at the platform they're being put on. There's a reason for that. But we go in the comment section trying to defend. I was like, it only made me sick reading the comments in the comment section about how to defend this guy. Oh, we should give him grace. We should give him support. We should give him love. He should come back. Come back to preach a perverted doctrine. Then said, oh, that's between him and the Most High. You really truly think that the Most High is even walking with this man the way he talks and acts? I remember in 2021, whenever I was going through COVID, it was still lockdowns happening. Mild lockdowns. That they had a Passover event during March, which is the wrong time. They had it at, I don't think it was a strip club, but it was where, it was like a lounge area where girls were pretty much dressed as strippers. I mean, they had booty shorts on, or they had leotards or onesies on, and their butts were out. One man, one member, was Instagram posting the whole entire event on his story. He was asking the girls, were they single? Because they could partake in drinking liquor and getting drunk with them if they were single. and they weren't married because they're not trying to be adulterers. They're trying to show righteousness in the club. Then GRLA, Gorilla Hebrew, walks in. He's caught on tape. And they all dressed like it was 1998. Fitted hats, big, long shirts. Basically, look like a hip-hop group. They don't look like Israelites. They look like a hip-hop group. And his explanation of this event was that it was a solemn assembly, and they were allowed to participate in the fun after the solemn assembly because Passover was done with. So it was okay for them to be in a nightclub. And some of them had their fringes on. Some of them had their Israelite wear on, I'm guessing, from the dinner itself, from the Passover event itself, and just took it to the club. And he didn't show me any remorse for that. He didn't show any repentance for that. And I knew then, like, oh, yeah, these camps are wicked. Outside of just constantly shoving this Star of David in our face, which is the Star of Rempham, the Star of Shaun, the Star of Moloch. And the problem with these camps are Gentiles look at us like we are a part of the camp. These camps are doing anything or not benefiting anyone but our own people, the low vibrational, low frequency people. But they're roping them in into that doctrine. And then they spout this doctrine or become echo chambers of this doctrine on their pages. Calling other white folks devils. And so when we start bringing out the truth and we start posting scripture, they're a little confused. Like, well, if he's an Israelite, he must be just like the other black Hebrew Israelites. He must be just like those other camps we keep reading about on Times of Israel and the ADL website. Then he must be a part of this hate group, a cult. They did more harm than doing good. And like I said before, if you go through their leaders, if you go through the main ones talking, I have found or have seen pictures and videos of them throwing their fingers, their thumbs into a pyramid. Yet Negroes don't see it because Negroes feel they don't need to learn symbolism and numerology because all they need is discernment from God. Where the Most High gives us discernment by manifesting and exposing Satan's lies, secrets, and symbolism. This is why Paul calls us in Ephesians to expose it, not to partake of it, but expose it. No, I don't need to know it. Hey, y'all gonna do my discerning. Y'all gonna do it. He gives us the tool. He gives us the ruach to search out a matter ourselves. Too many people will sit back and say, well, y'all will do it. Yahushua will do it. This will. I'll wait for him to do it. When certain things that we need to do for ourselves, for our ruach, for it to turn from babe into a grown adult, we have to do some of the work. And people get upset with, like, oh, don't come down too hard on them. Don't, you know, everybody should be grace and all that. And we allow this very soft approach because now no one wants to destroy the Israelite community. Nobody wants to talk against the community. We are all supposed to be one people. We all supposed to be together. We all have to group up because the enemy is trying to spread us apart. Man, kill all that noise. Go back to scripture in the Old Testament. The Levites in Exodus 32, 28 to 29, had to unalive their own brethren because they worshiped the calf. As a matter of fact, the Most High told them, take your swords and take those who was worshiping that calf, take them up out of here. They took swords and went through the camp slicing and dicing with no remorse. It was a commandment to be obedient to Yah's will. None of them said, hey, bro, hey, man, just show them some grace. You know, we messed up. We just now coming out of Egypt. You know, it takes time for us to get it right. Man, give us some grace, some long suffering. I'm pretty sure there was some brothers in there that's like, hey, wait. I'm new to this. I'm pretty sure. But it didn't help him. What about the Levite Phinehas, descendant of Aaron, who unalived the Israelite and his strange woman when they paraded each other or paraded themselves throughout the camp during curses when Yah said, do not go unto another nation's woman. And here comes an Israelite man and his strange woman into his tent to go hunch or to go lay up. Phinehas turned around and looked at him like, I just know he not. He went, got a javelin, a spear, went into that tent, killed both of them. Because of this zeal for the Most High, Yah gave him and his bloodline an everlasting covenant of peace. Then we know about Achan, do we not? And Yahshua, 88:34, he's also mentioned in the book of Yahushua, or Joshua. Yahushua said to Achan, tell me, my son, what have you done? And Achan said, I saw amongst the spoil a goodly garment of Shinar, Babylonian, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are all hid in the earth in the midst of the tent. Because of this, him and his entire family and his possessions was roped together, taken to a valley, and they set all of them on fire. We did not play around back then when it came to sin and other doctrines. We did not play. It was only after Yahushua that we aren't called to do that anymore. Which is why I don't understand why we feel like we have to make an entire community. And that we can't go against this community. Especially when most of us are babes to teenagers that we're not even fully adults in this walk yet. That we truly don't have any real elders because we are all new to this. Even those who are older, they are still somewhat new to this. I don't see many elders coming online talking about the calendar and the biblical lands and the maps. I'm not seeing them talk about any of that. I'm not seeing them talking about the new moon Shabbats. I'm not seeing them talking about the new moon festivals. I'm not seeing them talking about any of it. All I'm seeing is pep talks, exposing wickedness, what to look forward to in this new world order, and that's pretty much it. And then some scripture mixed in. So even our elders are still learning certain things that we have learned, and some of the elders know things that we don't know. I don't truly believe we have real elders. Because when I listen to the elders, some of them are still doing Friday and Saturday Shabbats. Some of them are still doing a Gregorian calendar. Some are even doing the same feast days that the Jews are doing. But as soon as we got woken up, everyone wanted to take a hold of an office. This someone wants to be a prophet. The other one wants to be a deacon. The other one wants to be an officer. The other one wants to be a preacher or a pastor or a priest or a high priest. We start just giving out titles like candy to people who don't deserve them. You got to be spiritually retarded to sit there and listen to Gorilla Hebrew and it's like, I want to follow this man. This man is kicking so much knowledge. You got to be truly dumb to not want to read it yourself and say, hold up, this don't sound right. How is salvation only open to Israelites? When the Most High has said in Revelation and other places that all peoples, all kindreds, all tongues will come to worship before me. And that's why I'm going to go back to Acts 2, where people think that's when the church was created. That the Most High gave the temple that Kefa, Peter, was preaching at. He gave them people. Kefa didn't turn people to Yahuwah. Yahuwah says in the very last part of that chapter, he says he called people to them. His son says the same exact thing. Yokohan 17. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. So the people that the Most High wanted to see the truth, wanted to hear, wanted to have eyes, he gave to his son. Y'all called these people. I want this as a witness. I want this as a witness. I want that person as a witness. And I'm going to move them all to my son. And my son's going to move them all to me. I want them to decide. I have chosen them. That's what he says. Many are called, few are chosen. So the Most High called people to see his son because he gave them long suffering, grace, and mercy. Now, what they do with that calling is on them. What they do with that calling is on them. He says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, guard them by your name, the same name which you have given me. The same name you have given me. It's not God or Lord or Elohim or Adonai. He's talking about a name. Yah, Yahusha, Yahuwah. He definitely not talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, the same name which you have given me, that they may be Yakad, as one, as we are, one. While I was with them in the world, I guarded them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept. Those that you have gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, everyone you have given me has not been lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So he's saying, I didn't call Judas. I didn't call Judas Iscariot. But he's called to me so that scripture may be fulfilled. Now, you're going to try to tell me any of these camps out here preaching and yelling and screaming have anything to do with how Yahushua walked, lived, and spoke? My woman told me the other day, like, I prayed because we were going through a little argument on all that. And she talked to, like, how I talk. Like, I need to talk with more tact. That's a perfect way of putting it. Learning to talk with tact. None of these camps understand and know how to talk tact. They do it by shaming you. One, if you're not on their side, they'll shame you. Two, they'll shame you if you're not an Israelite or in a camp. Three, they're shaming you if you're a woman who speak out against them. You're called a harlot and other names. And people truly believe, like, this is the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the way. They basically sound like Kevin Samuels to the women, just scripture mixed in. Because like I said before, they're insecure little boys who have not healed their childhood trauma and their emotional trauma that they suffered through their entire lives. They are now being put on a platform for knowing basic things. That's how deluded this world has become. That now you can be famous for knowing scripture. Words that have been in a book thousands of years that now people are reaching and searching to find the meaning of this life through scripture. We are not trying every spirit. We're not. And that's what we should be doing. We should be trying and testing every spirit, but we won't because we so desperately need a community, a group to belong to, so we're not ostracized for that group, so we don't speak up and say anything against it. And then when we speak up and say anything against it, now we are trying to cause strife and sow discord amongst the community. All of us are doing completely different things. We're not all doing one thing. We're not all following one doctrine. So why am I going to be, or why am I going to loop myself into a community that is not continually searching, growing, trying to be better, but letting Freemasons into the movement to now I'm going to be ostracized because I don't want to listen to what other Freemasons are saying, what other Prince of Freemasons are saying and running those groups. You might as well get on your knees and worship the beast right now. You might as well. Because you truly have to be completely stupid and mindless for people to bring out the truth for these camps and still overlook it. Even hearing their words, even seeing their dress and how they act. Did you know this is not fruits of the spirit? But people see things that they relate to and say, this is what I have to be. If you see an Israelite wearing a fitted cap and some fringes and some baggy jeans, you'd be like, yep, that's me. That's the image I'm used to. They call the low frequency Israelite because it doesn't force them to change who they are. Their identity is still in this world. Their street cred is still in this world. As you heard in his apology. Can't nobody walk through his shoes? People will fold under this type of pressure. First of all, you wouldn't put yourself under this type of pressure. It's like listen to a child, listen to a teenager trying to explain how tough he is. Trying to let people know how tough he is, that he's going through this. That you should be praised and exalted. Not because you came out on your own and apologized, but because you got caught and because you got exposed. Now you have to follow it up with something to appear righteous, to appear humble. And you didn't even make that work. What is Yohanan John 15, 1 through 3 says, I am the vine of truth, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You trying to tell me the Most High is working for this guy, working with this guy, or a complete doctrine, a Masonic doctrine, that he's going to purge? And no, for him to bring more fruit when he's been showing he can't produce fruit. But strife and discord. What fruit are these camps bearing? Other than delusion. Other than those tacky outfits. You brothers need a uniform, a team, a captain so damn bad. Insecurity. This walk is supposed to be done alone in isolation, away from the world, away from people, so you can come back with a different renewed mind, a different being. So humility really should be an easy acceptance to your Ruach if you do this isolation alone. Because one, you have to learn to forgive others that had nothing to do with your suffering. Then you forgive those who put in place your suffering, which I mean is generational curses. We had to forgive our forefathers and our parents for their ignorance. Then we forgave ourselves. Then we came to the Most High. Hat in hand, on our knees, palms open, begging him to teach us, to grow us, help us understand his word. Admitted that we are stupid without you. We are a bunch of unlearned, stiff-necked people. Please, welcome us back in. Show us your covenants. Very simple. If you got the Ruach HaKodesh and you're in isolation, humility and embarrassment and shame usually the first stages you go through. The first phase of the awakening. Because you realize all your past sins And the more you read scripture and you think about all your past sins, you start to look at yourself as cringe. Almost like you want to throw up in your mouth. And embarrassment comes over you, like you actually thought this way while you were in religion. People going on, oh, this is like Laodicea, the churches. No, no, no. It wasn't about the churches. It was about the assemblies following different doctrines and acting a different way. It's people who chose to be a part of these certain assemblies that perverted the word, that watered it down, that turned it into a tradition, that went wayward, away from the truth and the light. And brothers in this generation are nothing but gossipers now. That's all it is, gossipers. We don't learn nothing. We learn entertainment and gossip. Bunch of grown-ass men in their 30s and 40s gossiping. Quick to run and go tell what they know or what they heard of. And sound twice as ignorant repeating somebody else's narrative. They remind me of 1 Timothy 5:13. Instead of it being women that are acting like this, it's now men. Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. It don't matter what platform it is, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, it's littered with brothers with a platform, using their platform to be tattlers, to be gossipers. Edifying no one. But other men join to this type of charisma and doctrine because it's entertaining. I understand why women now are taking control of their own household or sometimes the man's household. I understand why women are going gay. I understand why women are being masculinized. Because weak, fatherless men have given way to that feminine nature. And because of insecurity and lack of attention, they have now found a niche gossiping. So now scripture, even Israelite community business, now looks like gossip. And we forget all the things that Yahusha did and went through. We truly do. We make this movement, we make this walk, we make this community all about us and our color and against anybody else who's outside of us. But we truly forget what Yahusha went through for us. When you read about him being scourged, and we know that's not just about being whipped and beaten. That means they made a device, a weapon, that on the end of it had claws, knives, sharp objects, and every time it whipped and went against his body, it pulled off skin. And nowhere in scripture does it say this man cried out, that he wailed, that he yelled. This man took this beating and didn't say much. It made me think of when they say Yeshayahu was sawn in half by Manasseh. In the pseudepigraphal books, The Ascension of Isaiah, they said that when Yeshayahu was being sawed in half, that he didn't feel any pain because his mind or his eyes looked as if he was in a vision while he was getting sawn in half. So he didn't feel anything. And I wonder if it's the same thing with Yahusha, because he was completely divine and completely spiritual, that he really didn't feel pain or flesh at the time they were beating on him and whipping on him. I think about if he was so much in power over his spirit, he would let Pilate know. I mean, obviously when Pilate said, to him, look, I have the power to crucify you or to set you free. Yahushua said, you don't have the power to do nothing but the power that has been given to you from the wicked one to do what the Father wants you to do. And then even when he was up there on the tree or the cross, before they were going to attempt to break his legs, he gave up his ruach. Spiritual, gave up. He decided when he was done. When he said it was finished, he letting you know I was done. Not when you say it was done. Not when you put me up here. Not when you beat me. Not when you put those thorns into my head. Not when you smote me across the face. Not when you scourged me. It was when I went through all that I'm telling you now I'm done. That's amazing. That's a different understanding that camps aren't really preaching to everyone. Because everyone needs to hear and understand this. If you so choose, if you are called, before you are chosen, this understanding of why you were chosen and called needs to be understood. That it's not just this man went through this beating, went through this trauma, went to this mockery and humiliation. He did so under his own power, under his own ruach. And then after he went through all of that, he let you know that he was done, that it was finished. Letting you know that he had all the power in his hand. They said before this, when they came to him and asked him, where is Yahushua, the Nazarene, the man from Nazareth? He said, I am he. They fell backwards. Just off this man saying, I am he. He again is letting you know how powerful, even in his words, he is. He didn't have to raise his hand. He didn't make him flinch. He didn't jump at him. They asked him, where is Yahushua the Nazarene? I am he. They fall down. I'm pretty sure this man didn't scream it. His meekness, his subtleties made these people fall from their feet. Again, letting them know, I have more power to do what you think you can do to me. I'm letting you have this one because this is my will. This is the Father's will. This is my path. Scripture is littered with so many different events, from Yahushua being arrested at Pesach all the way through his crucifixion, letting the powers of be know they had no power. Knowing he didn't have to do any of this, he could have made them feel like they were the most powerful, smartest, strongest nation out there. He really could have just said nothing and gone all the way through it saying nothing. He didn't have to make those people fall when he said, I am he. He didn't have to tell Pilate, you don't have no power. The Father gives you the power to perform his will for me so I can be glorified in the Father. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to get up on there and say, it is finished, and give up his ruach. He could have just went up there and hung his head. He let them know that everything was fulfilled in Scripture. And this is one of the things that a lot of Christians get wrong. When they say, oh, he came not to abolish the law, he came to fulfill the law. But if you read all of the Gospels, he goes back and tells you what he's fulfilled. He said, oh, by the words of Yeshayahu, the prophet, he spoke of me and he said this about me. He goes back to Moshe. Moshe spoken of me so that the scriptures will be fulfilled of what they said. That's what he says. I'm not abolishing the prophets or the law because they spoke of the law and me. And I guard my Father's law. He says those who guard my commandments love me. The same thing as the Father says, those who guard my commandments love me. If him and the Father is one, then guarding the commandments and the law is what we must do. Interesting, man. It's very interesting when you look at scripture in a different perspective outside of camps, outside of religion. If you look and listen for you, read it for yourself first, then you will be shown and understood the things that were kept from even the disciples during their day. Another thing I was thinking about is when Yahushua, when it says on that certain Shabbat, and of course the other translations, it says the first day of the week. Some of them even say Sunday morning. But it says on a certain Shabbat, when Mary and Miguel went to see Yahushua, and they said it was very early, so it was still dark. So I'm assuming it was before the Shabbat. When it says on that certain Shabbat, I'm pretty sure it was the Shabbat, but she came before the Shabbat early in the morning. And she found that he was gone. And then he appeared unto her and he said, do not touch me, for I have not ascended yet to the Father. And I noticed that was interesting because if you look up how in Jewish ritual, they didn't allow or they weren't allowed to touch a dead body. I'm not saying at that time Yahushua was dead. I'm just saying it's interesting that he told Mary, don't touch him because he has not yet ascended. And then if you look up, touching of a dead body, obviously they didn't allow the touching of a dead body, especially one on the Shabbat because it was defiled. You would defile the Shabbat if you touched a dead body. And I also was thinking that the 144,000 who are redeemed from the earth that were not defiled by a woman will come back with Yahushua. So that could also to me mean that he also didn't want a woman to touch him, so it would not defile him while he ascended up to see his Father. I don't know. It was just those two events stuck out to me when I read that chapter in Yochanan. Because when he came back down, of course, he tested a disciple who said that I'm not believing it's him until he let me put my finger in the holes and to feel where the wounds are. So I'm not going to believe until then. And then he came back down and allowed his disciple to touch him. But when he arose on that third day, he told Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended. So it was either don't touch me because I don't want to be defiled on the Shabbat, or don't touch me because I am not fully ascended. It means not coming back. I am still somewhat a dead body, so forth, that you don't touch me and defile also the Shabbat. Either or, my man is so pure, he don't want to be defiled. And 144,000 from the tribes of Israel that are coming back are also virgins, not being defiled by women. So when I say he didn't come to abolish the law, because his whole life was the law. Even through resurrection, he made sure he followed the law. So in closing, I know this was not like the normal show that you're used to, but I feel like I had to say something, especially when it came to those camps, because now brothers and sisters are running rampant with this doctrine and this gossip for a couple of days now, and it needed to be put to bed. That we should already start coming away from these camps because more are going to be exposed by and from them. And if you still continue to support these camps, even after they outed themselves or the Most High made them out themselves, then you are truly sottish, foolish children mentioned in Yirmiyahu 4:22. I see y'all next week, or I see you Wednesday.